Hello, sweet souls, and welcome back to the show. I'm so excited because I have a juicy interview lined up for you guys today, and it is with none other than Laura Hurd. And what's really exciting about this podcast interview is this feels like a full circle moment for me. I remember seeing Laura about 4 or 5 years ago when I came into the online space, and I actually approached her to come onto my podcast back then, and it wasn't aligned. Like, she was much further along than I was. She'd been in the industry for longer than I had, and it didn't end up working out. Fast forward 4 years later, she's a private client of mine, and we have just spent the last 6 months deeply getting to know each other. So not only is she a perfect example of a feminine authority with so much wisdom to give you guys, which I'm so excited to go into today, but she also is an incredible person that I was even following before we even started coaching together. Her thought leadership, her authority really goes further than this just being like a short, fleeting thing for her. She has really established herself as someone to go to and learn from in the feminine leadership space. So to give you a little bit more background about her, Laura is a certified master life, mindset, and success coach for high achieving females. She teaches her signature methods inside of her programs and has changed over 700 students' lives in the past 5 years. And she has a holistic approach to her coaching practice, and she actually certifies aspiring and newbies, as well as established coaches, through the Embodied Coach Academy. So she has this certification program that she founded in summer 2021, which literally teaches people to do exactly what she does. And she has an incredible mission, which is to empower people through feminine leadership in a really hands-on approach that combines spirituality and holistic well-being, as well as feminine leadership, into business and life. This is a juicy episode where we aren't just talking about business here, but we go deep into the shadow. We go deep into the things that Laura has real-time been navigating, even during our coaching relationship. And this is the real part of feminine authority that's so important, is being able to navigate the polarity of being a business owner and dealing with real life stuff. So if you're wanting to go deep into relationships, into breakups, into leading yourself and your business whilst difficult things are going on in your life, this is going to be the episode for you. So there is no stone left unturned, and I'm so excited for you to witness Laura's magic and the wisdom that she carries deep inside her soul. So without further ado, let's get into the episode. Laura has been a private client of mine for a while, but we've also just been navigating some things in duality, like with each other, and like going through these ups and downs. And it's been so interesting to sort of witness that. And one of the things that Laura really teaches on is feminine leadership, which we really want to get into today. But you have just been such an embodiment of feminine leadership, of everything that you stand for, really. So I'm so excited to get into this conversation. And we're going to get vulnerable today, guys.
We are.
So I'm so excited. So before we get into this, I'd love to first of all just ask you, what are first of all your big three in astrology, and what is your human design as well?
Mm-hmm. So I'm a generator as well, 4-6 split. So I think it's exactly the same for you, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, exactly the same.
And then I'm a Sagittarius sun, I am a Gemini moon, and I am a Leo rising. And all of these very much apply to me. Like, when you read up on it, it's just like, yeah, that's literally me in a nutshell. Like, it makes so much sense. So yeah.
It's so funny because, like, when's your birthday? The 14th of December? 6th of December. So mine is on the 18th of December. And I found it really funny when we were coaching, I had two clients that were both Sagittariuses, that were both generators, and you were 4-6 as well. And I was like, what is this, like, witchcraft that's going on that's, like, brought us together? Are we just, like, all twins or something?
Sometimes felt like it, honestly. And also, like, yeah, I think this is one of the reasons why you feel drawn to a certain mentor. No, it's like you see certain parts of yourself in them, and now it makes sense that I saw so many parts of myself, my own journey, in you, because we are similar in that way. And so it doesn't even have to mean like you're picking your mentor based on your star sign or anything like that. I'm not saying that. But what I will say is when you feel like there is some sort of energetic alignment and like you see parts of yourself at least mirrored in someone, it's like, well, yeah, then you get a feel for they could probably hold me in this, whatever season I'm in this process I'm in. So yeah, I feel like we have a lot in common in that way.
100%. And one of the things that I want to unpack is your six line. So the six line is notoriously like a difficult like line because it long-term is really brilliant. It's the authority line, you know, the regal authority is what it calls it. But for the first 30 years, we're a three line, which is all about trial and error. And I have found myself that it was incredibly traumatic my first 30 years. Like there was so much polarity. And so I want to get into a little bit about like your own journey, like really go back to like who Laura is at the core. But before we do that, could you just explain a little bit from your perspective, from your words, what it is that you do? What is your outer authority?
Mm-hmm. So, well, let's start with where I've been starting, because when I started coaching, it was very much just the mindset, confidence, peace, a lot of manifestation as well. I think that's where you started too, actually. I'm pretty sure you started with that too, which is funny. But anywho, so started with that probably like 7 years or so ago by now. And it was just super fulfilling because like I was still, well, I was not new to personal development, but I definitely still was finding myself in the process of working on my confidence, working on my mindset. Like I was still in it and like embodying. And as I was embodying, then I was teaching. And so like that's kind of where it started. And it's still to this day, like a huge part of my work, of course, like working with the subconscious and with beliefs and shifting paradigms and through that shifting identities. All those good things. And eventually, like I want to say two and a half-ish years or so ago, as I was in my first like actual real relationship and understanding polarity and understanding masculine and feminine energy and starting to integrate it a little bit more as well, I understood that this kind of concept or like these kind of almost patterns, you could say, that I was seeing my business showing up, they were also applicable to my relationship and vice versa. And so I got fascinated by masculine and feminine energetics and how they kind of like play together and like how you can pretty much use them to create more fulfillment in your relationship, like your romance or love life in general, in your business, in your life, in your daily life, within yourself pretty much. And so I got into that, and I also very much became known for, I guess, feminine leadership in the way that I was really stepping into my own feminine leadership era as I was healing my wounded masculine energy and as I was integrating more of my healthy feminine energy. And that's been a whole journey for me, to be honest with you. Like, for as long as I can remember, I've been in my wounded feminine. I've been like a hustler, overachiever, perfectionist, like you name it, literally like so, so wounded, always operating from pressure and from wanting to hit external expectations and very much being focused on like how things look and like if things make sense to myself or other people rather than how do things feel for me? How do they land for me? And how happy do I really feel in the process of going after my dreams and, you know, achieving my goals? Because now I know there is a way to be ambitious and be driven and, you know, slay all of your goals, but also like do it in a way that feels really good for you. And for the longest time, it wasn't feeling good. And I honestly had neglected that. And when I came to that realization of like, my life pretty much looks really bomb on the outside. Like that was in 2021, by the way. It was like in late 2021. I had just started like a new business, my coaching certification academy, which is kind of part of my brand, but also kind of separate. I just like gotten that off the ground. It was like a successful, huge launch. And on the outside, like it all looked amazing. People were like, whoa, like you were crushing it. But I was crumbling. Like I was tired. And I had already hit burnout in 2019. After pretty much like losing my dad, then numbing myself in work and just like not being in a good place mentally, emotionally, and physically. And so I'd already been there before and I knew what that was like. And I was starting to see symptoms again. And I was just like not at my feminine leadership era. Okay. Like even in 2021, like I was better because I had a team. and I had started to like release control and started to outsource, but it was just not it yet. Like I was not, it was still not really feeling good. And I, when those old symptoms started showing up again in my, like my physical body, like I had like really, like Haley, really bad acne. Like it was really bad. And never in my life had acne. Like it was just not happening for me as a teen. Like never, like it was always great. And that showed me, like my skin was literally screaming at me, Laura, like you need to take a fucking break. Like this is not sustainable. And something here is also not feeling right. So I was in a business partnership with a second business with someone else at that time. And it was a complete values mismatch and misalignment. And I didn't see it because I didn't want to see it because it just made sense. So I was operating from this rational place of it just makes sense. So let's go. Like, and like really very much like wanting it so badly that I just kept going with it, even though it didn't feel good. And so, yeah, like neglecting my intuition has led me to making a lot of decisions that weren't that great for me and for my business and my personal life and my health and all those things. And so I really, really learned in the past, well, pretty much over 2 years now, just over 2 years, that like it just shows, like sooner or later in your business, in your life, in your relationships, it shows when you're not operating in alignment with what's true for you, when you're not when you're not paying attention basically to your body. And this is why I'm so huge on this now, is because I feel the most energized and happy and content that I felt like I think probably ever. And I can confidently say that now, because like I wake up feeling this way, and like I genuinely mean it, and I'm not like trying to fake something or, you know, like wanting to tell myself, oh, I'm good, when actually I'm not really good. You know, I genuinely feel this way now, and it's because I feel a certain way about myself. It's because I have created my life in a very intentional way, created my business in a very intentional way. And it doesn't mean that there isn't challenges. It doesn't mean my life and my business and myself is always like everything is going smoothly, but I just know how to navigate those seasons now that are uncomfortable or painful or challenging, with so much more self-trust and ease and grace and patience, which is beautiful. And so that's how I got into feminine leadership in business and life and romance. Like it's really not just business. Like it really does apply to all aspects of life. So long story short, this is how we got here.
I love this. There's so many directions that I could take this right now. And I have kind of so many questions. Like my ADHD mind is just like, which one do we want to go down? All of them.
ADHD sister.
Yeah, literally. Oh yeah, we've also got ADHD. So one of the things that you mentioned very early when you were talking about all of this was the wounded feminine. And you kind of like spoke about some of the symptoms of that. But before we go any deeper into any of the other questions, could you just quickly define like what is the wounded feminine? How would someone know if they are operating from the wounded feminine? And how was that specifically showing up for you at different phases of your life and career?
So for me, the biggest one probably was having severe trust issues, like not being able to release control. And that showed up in all aspects of life. Like for me, I was trying to micromanage and control and like have a grip around everything in my life when it came to my routines. Like it started in my daily life, honestly, with my routines. They were super strict. Like I was not trusting myself that I could intuitively choose something as my morning routine and go with that. Like it had to be like almost like a to-do list that I was taking off in the morning, which like in itself is just like, well, it's great to make time for something to nourish yourself, like to have 1.5 hours scheduled in the morning for your morning routine. Like that is great. And that's healthy masculine structure you need to fulfill your needs in the morning. But for me it was like everything became a to-do list. Everything became a must, a, do you say core or chore in English? By the way, I'm German. Cool.
Yeah,
right. Like everything. I've always been wondering and knew the word, but I was like, how do you pronounce it actually? Anyways, so everything was like a, everything was a task, you know, like everything was like a must do this. And that was honestly where it started. It also obviously translated into my relationship. Like I felt like I always had to like be in leadership, be in control, like initiate and plan and like be on it. also, we will get into this later probably, but it was also because obviously my partner and I were co-creating this dynamic, and he was more in his feminine because he's very artsy and flowy. He's an Aquarius. He's a creative. So like he was lacking a lot of the leadership and structure. I had a little bit too much of it. And so it worked until I got dissatisfied and I realized I don't want to be in this role, in this relationship dynamic, right? Anywho, so with that, like just trust issues in general, like not trusting myself, not trusting life working out in my favor, not being able to surrender and really just release control and be like, this is going to be fine. I'm trusting myself that this will work out, that I can work this out. But also my business, like micromanaging my team, like eventually like not having a team for a really long time in the first place because no one could do it just as me, right? Like it was always like this belief that if I outsource, my business is literally going to crumble and like nothing's going to work anymore because no one can do it quite like me, right? Like this belief that I can't trust other people in like doing a good fucking job. And so like eventually when I did hire a team because it was like literally not sustainable, I was burning myself to the ground, which was in 2019, I started hiring team members and I was micromanaging them. Like I was just like, let me check that. And not to a healthy degree where it's like, well, like someone's starting to work for you. Obviously, you got to like see that they're like knowing what they're doing and stuff like that. It was like literally years into working with them that I was still like, you know, wanting to be on it and wanting to be in control, be in charge. And whilst as a business owner and like CEO, it is important to like be in your leadership and to like, you know, feedback your team. Like that is normal. But what is not normal is like literally micromanaging, like watching every single move they're making. Cause then you can just as well do it your fucking self, right? So like this trust, lack of trust, like trust issue in itself and inability to trust and release control and surrender, like that was huge for me. I was also lacking boundaries when it came to work. Like I had no healthy work boundaries. Like I was literally working from 7 a.m. in the morning to 9 or 10, sometimes 11 p.m. at night. No boundaries, like literally no boundaries. It was like, oh, there's something more to do, or there is another message or another email. Let me get back to that real quick. Like, and it literally resulted in me having no personal life, right? And I was in a relationship at that time. So like literally my relationship also suffered. And I still to this day, I'm like, wow, so much respect for him having been so gentle with me in the beginning when I literally was a workaholic when we started dating. So yeah, like these were some of the ways in which it definitely showed up and obviously impacted my life, my well-being, my mental health, emotional health, my physical health, and also just the quality of my relationships and my business as well, because it didn't feel fun. Like that was not enjoyable. Yeah. That was not a fun way to operate, you know?
Oh my God, I'm getting chills as you're talking because I imagine, first of all, this is going to be incredibly relatable for so many people, but I have literally been through periods of my own life when I've experienced this, because I think that this is almost the norm that, you know, as women specifically, we see all of these, you know, leaders. Think about law firms. What's that TV program with the law, the lawyers?
Suits. Oh my gosh, addicted. I love it.
Prime example, right? Girl boss women working all hours of the day. And it's seen Grey's Anatomy, another really great example. You know, these incredible women that are just working nonstop. It is glamorized.
It is glamorized.
The wounded feminine is kind of what I'm picking up. And I have 100% been in these periods myself where, you know, even I would say it's still something that I'm like moving through. And this probably comes from trauma myself, but, you know, and in potentially ADHD, but like I do have an, it doesn't feel comfortable to rest sometimes when your mind is so active, you know? And so there is like this ADHD. And so there is this, I do have this like drive to like continue doing things. And I really have to be strict with myself and say, switch off now. You know, now's the time where you're going to drop everything. But at some stage, you know, previously I didn't have that off switch. And so when I was working a full-time job and building a business, very similar to you, getting up at like 4 a.m., calls until 10 p.m., 11 p.m. at night. And it was just like normal. And it felt really, and I never burnt out, you know, we're generators. We can like work and work and work a long way, but it feels really difficult. And so I, from your perspective, you work with a lot of business owners, you work with a lot of leaders in the space. How often do you see women operating, and men, let's not make this a gender thing, How often do you see people operating in their wounded feminine?
All the time. Literally all the time. Honestly, because I think the thing is too, like, my niche is like high achievers, like, you know, women who have experienced burnout in the past or are experiencing it right now or are just in the process of realizing this and recovering from it. So, like, naturally for me, most of my clients, I want to say 90% of my clients probably have been in the wounded feminine in the past or are currently still in that state and energy. And so It is way more common than we realize, especially in the entrepreneurial space. I'm not saying that, you know, stay-at-home moms can't be in that energy. Like, definitely this is also a thing. Like, even if you don't have a job or you have a 9-to-5 job, you can still feel like severely, yeah, burned out and like you're pushing your limits. But especially as entrepreneurs, there is this stage, as you said, there is this business stage, I guess, where you have to put in exponential work to later reap the rewards. Like, this is normal. But again, it's from what place and what boundaries do you still have in place, right? Yeah. It's being intentional. And I was never intentional. I was never even aware, oh, like, it's 10 p.m. Maybe it would be a great idea to put on my PJs and make a fucking tea and go to bed to my partner and just cuddle and chill for a sec. Like, it was not even on my mind. Like, it was just like, no, there is more. There is more. And it is a generator thing. It is an ADHD thing. But also, like, it is a thing of trauma. Like, you're proving your worth. You're proving yourself. You need to show up because otherwise you're not even deserving of the success that you're wanting, right? Like, for me, it was huge, like, massive belief was I need to fucking earn it. If someone gives me love, I have to earn it. If I want anything in life, I have to fucking work my ass up for it. Like, I have to do more than other people even. Like, that was also, like, other people get to receive, but not me. For me, it has to be hard. My decision, my choice was it has to be hard because that's what I decided when I was really young, right?
Can we segue here to when you were really young? So this is where I want to go back in time. Tell me about your childhood, like, because what I'm kind of gathering from everything that you're saying as well is, like, the wounded feminine isn't just something that we arrive on this planet with. It's something that's learned, you know, and it's something that comes through, whether it's trauma, there may be like brain chemicals in there as well, but like there's a big conditioning part. So I'd love to know, as someone that like found themselves in the wounded feminine, could you use yourself as like an example of like, how did that happen? What was your upbringing like? If you don't mind sharing, like, what was parenting like? Like, was there anything that happened as you were growing through your informative years?
Yeah, there was so much happening. So first and foremost, I'm German. This is why I didn't know how to pronounce chore, right?
You got it. You got it.
Got it, right. I got it now. Yeah, so like I'm German. So like there's a certain mindset in Germany, you know, when you're growing up, it's like, it's not fun. It's not like, it's very strict first and foremost. Like, everything is like a certain way, which is like great. Germans are usually on time. Like, that's something I'm actually getting to work on, to be honest with you. But like, typical Germans are always on time. It's like, everyone is like hardworking. Don't enjoy yourself too much. Like, that's like the general culture. If you're a German or like you're from a European country, you may be able to relate. And like my childhood particularly, it was just, I grew up in a household with parents who were still together, but emotionally not necessarily connected anymore. And so there was a lot of fights about money when I was young. So my money trauma, my money beliefs were really bad when I started my business. Like, I was literally operating from scarcity and lack for as long as I can remember. Like, I just healed all of my money trauma maybe like a year and a half or 2 years ago. Before that, there was always lack. There was always like, it has to be difficult. Money doesn't come easily to you, like, doesn't grow on trees, yada yada, like, you've heard all the things. And so for me, I was always really good at school. I was excellent in school, actually. I was really good at sports. I was, how do you say, like, the first in class? Is that the term?
Yeah, top of the class.
Yeah, something like that. So that's always who I was, because for me, I had a really bad relationship with my dad since basically the moment I was born. And I know the reasons why I don't want to share them right now, to be honest, but I've always had a really difficult relationship with my dad from the moment I was born. And so we never really, I never really got like love or appreciation or a lot of attention from him, which I know, understand looking back on it, it wasn't personal at all. But as a child, like, what do you internalize, right? Like when you don't get attention, when you don't get appreciation, affirmation, love, affection, like anything, like whatever it is, like all the love languages, nothing is met. Like, of course you're going to make it mean something about you, because that's the only way to operate as a child. You are like, well, what is wrong with me then? And so I had to overachieve to receive love, because whenever I was like really fucking good at something, like I was playing soccer really high as a young woman, like as a teenager, basically from age maybe 9 or 10 to like, no, actually I started way earlier, like seven to 12 or something like that for a couple of years. Like I was really good at that. Like I would get recognition and appreciation through that, like through achievement, through achieving, through delivering and showing and proving my value. Like I got good grades. I got certain things ticked that I knew were meaningful to my parents. And so that's what I was chasing, right? That's what I was working towards. It wasn't necessarily meaningful to me, but that didn't matter. And so I think for a lot of people, like they learn as children, like when I do this, I get this. And then that's your strategy. Okay, I want love. I want attention. I want affirmation. Well, what do my parents value that I got to do in order to get this from them? And so, because I couldn't self-source at that time, I couldn't give myself love and attention because I was not in the personal development space when I was 9 or 8 years old, right? So I wasn't really able to self-source at that time and to give that to myself, so I wouldn't need it as much, even though I do think to a certain degree, like children do need it from their parents, like that's quite normal. But so I worked really hard on everything in order to get what I needed and wanted as a child, which was quite a normal need to have. And so that's when these beliefs developed. I also like was always studying so hard that I at some point had decided like, oh, I have to study this much to even get good grades. If I study less, I wouldn't even get good grades. That was not true. One time I didn't have time. I generally didn't have time and I still smashed it. Like it was really just a decision that I've made over the years. And so all these decisions obviously then also impacted my entrepreneurial journey. Like I have to work really, really, really hard. Otherwise I won't get results. I have to prove my worth. I have to deserve success, because before it was always like, well, I don't deserve good things in life. Like I was really having bad friendships at that time, like really like toxic like friendships with other women. Like there was always competition, there was always envy, there was always, it wasn't genuine essentially. I didn't feel safe. I didn't feel seen and safe and appreciated as a human. It was more so just like, oh, let me grab your homework so I can quickly copy it before class. Or it was always like that. It was always competition. And so I had a huge sisterhood wound, and I always thought like, well, I have to deliver, I have to give something to people in order to be worthy of their love or their friendship or whatever it is, right? And so there has been like so many beliefs that have been coming up during the years that then also reflected back in my adult life and my business and my adult relationships, and also in the relationship to my partner, of course. Like it was so interesting when I got love from him without doing anything, without performing, without giving something in the first place. Like that was new to me, but that was also really, really healing at the same time. So yeah, long story short, that was, I guess, my childhood. Could go into way more detail, but let's leave that for another day.
Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing. And so I'm kind of hearing where the desire to achieve has come from, like the overworking. I'm hearing, you know, the wounded feminine, which I've got a question about, and the sisterhood wound, being able to relax into your feminine to receive without giving something. The one thing that I'm interested about is, it sounds like with the wounded feminine comes like a lot of control issues of like not being able to release, to be able to receive, to not be able to not be in charge of everything. Where do you think that comes from? Or is it like kind of an amalgamation of all of it?
That honestly came from the dynamic, for me at least, right? For me personally, the dynamic my parents had, because again, there was a lot of chaos when I was growing up. They were not in love. They had a really unhealthy relationship. And when they were fighting, I had to go in between. I had to go in between and stop it. So if I was not the one in control going, and I was like fucking young, I was like what, 6-7 years old, if I wouldn't have gone in between, no bueno, you know. So I learned really early on, I have to be the one who, I learned to be an adult essentially as a child. I learned to be the one in control. No one else is taking care of this. No one else is taking care of me. So I gotta, I mean, my mom was taking care of me. Don't get me wrong. Like, she was feeding me. She was amazing. She was a great mom. Like, I love her to bits. But within the dynamic with my dad back then, it felt very chaotic. It felt very unsafe. And I had to go in between. I had to step in between. I had to be the one in charge because my brother was up in his room, you know, like playing really loud music. So like, he wouldn't like see, hear, like, you know, like notice anything really. And me as the younger sister, I was just like, I can't stand this. Like, I can't have this. Like, and so I learned I gotta be in control. Like, this is the only fucking way to get this thing sorted, right? And normally as a child, obviously your parents are sorting things out. Like, they're the ones in charge. They're in control. And I mean, when we went on holiday, obviously they planned that and they were in control. But I'm really just talking about the difficult situations when I had to step in to prevent things from really, you know, like turning out not so well.
Escalating.
So that's where I learned to be in charge. And then that's the only way to feel safe, because obviously my nervous system was wrecked. Obviously I was feeling completely unsafe as a child, like just witnessing that dynamic and even just like the way they were interacting with each other. Like, that wasn't nice. And I learned that that was love, which was a whole other thing that fucked me up for the future. And for my first relationship, like that, oh, that is love. I don't want that, right?
Okay, chaos is love.
Right. I don't want that. If that's love, I don't want it. But also, again, it taught me to be the one in charge, to step in, to be the strong one. Right, to be the strong one who's carrying the weight of the world on her shoulders. And so naturally, that was what I kind of always took with me, was I was always the one to, you know, listen to my girlfriends and to hold the space and to be there, to be the caretaker, basically. And I love that to a certain degree. I'm still being like the caretaker in the way that I'm taking care of my friends and I'm taking care of my mom these days and I'm taking care of my clients in a way. But like, it's way more healthy and integrated. I have boundaries and I'll say no, and I'm only pouring from an overflowing cup, versus back then I was a fucking child. Like, I was not pouring from an overflowing cup. I was depleted. I was confused. I was sad. I was heartbroken. And so that's where I learned that it's safe for me. The only way to feel safe is to be in control, because then when I have things under control, they're going in a certain way and then nothing bad is going to happen, if that makes sense.
This is fascinating and so interesting, and thank you so much for sharing, because I know that this is like really, really vulnerable, but I think it will be so helpful for people to understand how the wounded feminine comes online. Because so many of these, like, I'm sat here nodding my head, like, we're obviously very similar anyway, but like, a lot of this dynamics that you have with your parents previously are some of the dynamics that I've had with mine in slightly different capacities. And so I can really see then, oh, that's why I ended up in the wounded feminine as well, because of these dynamics. Like, I also had like control issues, and, you know, growing up in kind of like an up and down household where, you know, there was quite a lot of anger, you know, like, you learn very quickly that you can control the situation, like, or people pleasing really comes online here. Like, how can I make everyone happy? How can I avoid an argument? How can I distill this argument? And I very much, you know, my sister was much more passive than I was, but I learned to fight, you know? And so I learned very, you know, on my toes, like ready to kind of pop off and defend myself or control the situation. How can I control this? And so that then to control issues where, you know, okay, if I'm just passive, I'm going to get walked all over. So I need to control that. I need to be ahead of the curve, you know? So it's so interesting seeing where all of these things can come from, because I've healed through a lot of the same dynamics that you have as well. So thank you so much for sharing all of that. And I'm really curious. So now it sounds like, you know, you're in this much better place and you've gone through different journeys of like healing different parts of this. What have been the processes or the steps that you have taken to kind of heal the wounded feminine and move into feminine leadership?
Mm-hmm. So first and foremost, the addiction, as we just said, to chaos, that was a huge one. Because obviously, as you said, constantly being on your toes, constantly being ready to fight, being in fight or flight mode, essentially, right? You got to heal your nervous system for that. And so for me, I was always ready to fight. I was always like, chaos is my norm. It's normal. And so funny enough, in the start of my relationship, my ex-relationship now, that was a huge one too. Like I was always ready for like some, you know, like for some disruption almost.
It's really and I felt and my, the same in a previous relationship.
Right. Too. And all my partner wanted was harmony. And so obviously huge.
Bring the chaos.
And I was like, bring on the fucking chaos. Because that's what felt safe to me, funny enough. It was all I'd ever known. My like my nervous system was just used to that, was like that was what was normal to me. Yeah. Like we always, obviously, as humans, subconsciously even, we always seek what feels familiar. We always seek what's familiar. And so I was seeking what was familiar for me all my life. And that is disruption, chaos. And it's for me acknowledging that in the first place, because he once said to me in a fight, I can still remember, like not a fight, but we had like a discussion. It was fiery. I was pissed. And he was like, you always like want to, what did he say? You always want to argue. And like, you always want to like find something we can like argue about. And I really sat with that. And I was like, oh yeah. I was like, yeah, that is actually true. I like to have a fucking fight. And I still to this day, like I like a fiery discussion. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
But I was ready to take it to a place where we would be like kind of like mad at each other. And, you know, like I was ready for that. Because again, like I was used to that. I was like, that's fine with me. That's what love can look like, because my parents had that.
Yes, yes, that's what you've grown up with. That's the comfort. That's how you find safety, is by defending yourself.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. By being like, yeah, by like making a point and like being very like passionate about it. And so yeah, like I really had to like first step, really fucking admit this to myself and be like, oh yeah, actually, this is true. That this is a thing. This is something I need to look at. I need to look at that. I can't keep telling myself, oh, no, I'm fine. You're the problem. Like, not me, right? Like, really, really being honest with myself here. And then, again, what we just said, understanding the root cause. Like, where does this subconscious need for chaos? Where does that fucking come from? I don't want that in my life anymore. I don't want that in my business. I don't want that in my relationship. I don't want to feel so on my toes in my daily life anymore. I don't want to be in fight or flight mode anymore. Like, I needed to reprogram my nervous system so it would feel, my body would feel safe in harmony, in a state of harmony, in a state of peace, in a state of balance, rather than an extreme, or rather than constantly wanting to be angry, essentially, because I had anger issues too. Like you just mentioned anger issues before. I had severe anger issues. I was fucking aggressive as a kid. I was aggressive. I wasn't like hurting anyone. But if my mom and my dad had like a really bad thing, like I was getting really loud just to like make a point. To be heard. Exactly, to be heard.
Yes, when you grow up in a chaotic household, the desire to be heard. Like the apparently one sibling will typically become passive and one
– my brother.
yeah, my sister. And one sibling will become the fighter. And that's exactly our dynamic that happened as well.
100%.
Chills. Are we just the same person, Laura? Like, what is going on? You just like telling my story. You're just the German version of me. You're just like, oh, I'm in Germany. And I'm like, no, that's my story.
right. No, I'm the German version of you. I'm happy to say that. And also our initials, like I was just like looking at Laura Hurdy and Haley Lloyd, and I was like, LHHL. It's just weird.
Okay, this is interesting. So it sounds like so far the steps are, first of all, you need to acknowledge. So there's a level of like leadership in yourself. You need to be able to say, self-awareness, like, okay, maybe I'm in my wounded feminine. How is this showing up for me? Am I being defensive? Do I have control issues? Am I working with the fuel behind it being to prove versus what I actually want to do? Am I allowed to switch off? Like, what are the actual dynamics? That sounds like it's the first part. The second part sounds like it's then understanding for each of those parts, what's the root cause? Doing some introspective work. Then you started talking about like reprogramming the nervous system. So I'm curious if you could kind of like go off that point. Like, how do you start to reprogram the nervous system to feel safe, like not being in the wounded feminine?
So like this is really somatic healing, where you can either like work with a healer, which I had one session. Like, I didn't have a lot of sessions, to be honest. But it just really helped me to get into my body in the first place and notice, where do my emotions come from? How do they feel in my body? Where do I feel them? In which parts of my body? Like, anger, I have my chest, like a fire burning in my chest, you know? Mm. Like, just understanding those sensations in your body. Like, where do I feel certain emotions? What triggers those emotions in the first place? But also, like, very much, like, what is the experience in my body? And how can I move through it with my body rather than just talking myself through it in my head or rationalizing it? Again, you can't really, I mean, you can rationalize your emotions to a certain degree, but it doesn't really help unless you find physical release. And so I really learned the sacred rage practice everyone's talking about. So yeah, pillow punching, screaming, shaking, like getting the energy that is stuck in your body from years and years and years of having certain experiences in your life and probably swallowing all these emotions down. Like, for me, anger was like, oh no, I'm the good girl. I can't be angry. I'm a woman. I can't be angry. I shouldn't express anger because no one likes a woman that is very fucking angry, right? Like, guys would tell me, oh, like, you're always like so fiery and angry and like, that's a lot to handle. And so I learned, oh shit, like, I shouldn't be angry, right? I shouldn't express it. I should just.
Yeah, that's a bad emotion.
It's a bad emotion. It's a bad emotion. Yeah. You shouldn't feel it. It's like, no, it's a fucking neutral emotion and it's part of your human experience, but no one tells you that. So you swallow it. You swallow it and you swallow it and you swallow it until you're all bottled up. And when there's one small thing, you're ready to fucking explode. And so I realized, wow, there's a lot of stored anger in my body from all those years. It's a lot. There's a lot there. And so I needed to find ways to release it that was not me letting it out on my partner or letting it out on anyone really that had nothing to do with it. And so releasing a lot of anger. And for me, it was a lot of like physical stuff. Like, even honestly, running, like boxing is so great. Honestly, it's a great sport. I did that in Cape Town when I was living in Cape Town for a little while early 2020, just before I actually met my partner in summer 2020. But I just found ways to really let my body express those emotions in a healthy way in a certain setting. Or again, it wasn't like offending anyone. It wasn't unsafe for anyone. It was very safe for me as well. But like really finding ways to express it, like with my body, not just like with my voice, also with my voice for sure. So being like, you know, like we make certain sounds for a reason. Like the body wants to make noise and sound for a reason. And oftentimes, like when we're in public, we're like, oh, I shouldn't make that noise right now. But no, fuck, like make that noise because it comes up intuitively. Your body knows how it wants to express itself when it feels a certain emotion. So when we're like, why won't we make that? Or like when we're like, you know, like everyone's like, oh, don't do that. I mean,
don't yawn. Don't sigh. How rude.
Right. It's rude. Anything you're making, like society. When you're sounding, it's just so bad. Right.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, your body is meant to express it in that moment. So again, it doesn't bottle up in your body. And so I really had to learn to give myself permission to work with my body and to let my body express itself. Like it's the same when we're like having sex. Imagine like you're not allowed to make any sounds. Like that's really bad. That's you suppressing yourself. Like
totally.
You know, like it's like you can't, when your body intuitively wants to make noise, let it make that noise, whatever it fucking is. Let your body make that noise.
Yeah.
And that was healing, to give myself permission to finally, after all these years, give myself permission to release the shame, release the guilt, the conditioning that this is wrong. I shouldn't feel that way. I shouldn't express it in that way. As long as it's in a safe space where you're, again, not offending anyone, like, why the fuck not? This is why people, like, drive to the woods and, like, scream to the forest, right? Like, it's great because it's not offending anyone and it's fucking good for your soul. And so, like, for me, finding ways to express my emotions through my body, through sounds, but also, like, through expression, through healthy expression and communication. So rather than like telling someone, oh, it's fine, no big deal, I would be like, no, actually, this bothered me. I forgive you.
Yeah.
But yeah, it bothered me. Like speaking up for myself, learning to speak up. Use your voice, set healthy boundaries. It's not you being a bad bitch. It's not you being mean to anyone. It's really just you valuing and honoring yourself enough to say how you feel, why you feel that way, and to set a boundary and say, I wouldn't appreciate if that happened again. You know, like, it's nothing bad. And a lot of people, again, as you said before as well, Haley, have this people-pleasing pattern, good girl conditioning, as you call it, right?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I shouldn't say that because then I'm offending someone, or then I'm not just like, taking it. Like, no, like, you don't, you can be really nice, you can be really understanding and empathetic and embodied in compassion, again, feminine energy, and also still say, I don't want to accept this type of behavior. Again, healthy masculine energy, like setting a healthy fucking boundary. And so finding your sweet spot there, like, that's been so healing for me, finding my sweet spot when it comes to expression, when it comes to setting boundaries, and just valuing myself through that, like showing myself I'm worthy of that.
I love that. And so it sounds like this then really became the catalyst for you desiring to have this masculine feminine like dynamic in like your coaching business. So I'm curious, like, how does this now come into your containers? Like, you have the Femme Leader Mastermind, you have like a program called Thrive on Life. Both of them use like this feminine leadership concept that you're talking about. So like, how does this work come into those containers? Like, how do you now support your clients with leaving the wounded feminine behind and embodying, you know, a more holistic version of being a human, a woman, and a feminine leader?
Mm-hmm. So especially inside of Thrive on Life, which is like a 2-month mini mine, it's also for entrepreneurs, but not only, like, it's not business focused per se. We focus a lot on healing the unintegrated, unhealthy, toxic masculine and feminine within you, so that you can start operating from your healthy feminine, from your healthy masculine, and find your own unique, like, sweet spot, as I call it. Because for me, what really changed the game in my life, in my relationships, in my love life, in my dating life, in my business, was finding my personal unique sweet spot of like, what does that look like for me being in my healthy masculine and in my healthy feminine, right? Like, because the thing is, again, like, a lot of people, what they get wrong is like, they're like, oh, I used to be an overachiever, I used to be very like go and masculine in that way, like unhealthy masculine. Well, now let's go all the way to the other side of the spectrum and just be feminine and flowy and soft and compassionate. And whilst that is, like, these are great qualities to have, what I've noticed within myself for a while, like, that was probably 1.5 years ago, I was so in my feminine that I was like predominantly my feminine, that it led to a place of me feeling frustrated because it wasn't serving me anymore. Because again, I had no structure, I had no boundaries. I was like very, very, very soft in my approach to like everything, meaning sometimes I would let people walk over me. Sometimes I, which again, before I was a child, like, would have never happened, right? Because I was in my wounded masculine. So like, it kind of swung to the other side of the pendulum, if you will. In my business, it was very flowy, very little structure, like no attachment to deadlines, which can be healing for a little while if you've been in your wounded masculine all your life before. But it led me to a place of being like, I don't like that. Like, this is just too much, you know, it's too much of the other extreme.
It was an overcorrection.
Exactly. And so I realized, well, then there must be like a gray area. It's not just black or white, right? It's not just either in your masculine or in your feminine. And like, there must be some sort of like weird like balance or sweet spot, right? And so like, I really went on this journey of finding my own sweet spot of what does that get to look and feel like for me to embody my healthy masculine and at the same time embody my healthy feminine. And whilst I say like there is a tendency, like, it still looks different for everyone, I want to say, because everyone is different. Everyone has different preferences. Everyone has a different lifestyle, different relationships with people, different careers, and different needs, ultimately different needs. And so I know my needs very well. Now I know my values very well. Now I know myself very well, essentially. And that helps to then define my own and embody my own sweet spot. And so essentially what we're doing in this program is we're healing the wounded masculine, we're healing the wounded feminine, we're integrating the healthy masculine, we're integrating the healthy feminine, and then we're making sure that everyone, because this is like a really small container, I call it mini mind, because it's not like just a group program of like 30 people on it, it's probably going to be a group of just under 10 people. We're helping every single person find their unique sweet spot. And for me, this is so meaningful because it's changed the way I feel in my life. It's changed the way I show up in my life, in my business, in my relationships, just feeling so like myself, like my true self, feeling integrated, not feeling too flowy, but also not feeling too stressed and resentful. So like, it's really beautiful. And so that's kind of the work we do in that container. versus in the Femme Leader Mastermind, which is 4 months long. We're doing that work as well, but it goes beyond that. And it's also very much focused on romance and like being in your feminine, in your love life, when you're dating, in a relationship. When it comes to just co-creating your life, like creating a life of freedom is like hugely in focus. And so we're focusing on, okay, so like, what does your schedule get to look like? Like, how do we structure things? Again, there's a lot of laser coaching in there as well, because it's a very small container of up to 7 people. Per group, per round, and also then like the feminine aspect of business and also the masculine aspect of business. So I'm kind of teaching my system, my way of leading, my way of operating in your business to ensure that you have time freedom and that you're feeling organized and very clear, but also at the same time, and you're having like certain strategies that align with you and that feel good for you. It's not like just take what I do and like, you know, like just apply that. It's more so like what works for you. And then also like being in your feminine and like being able to receive, being able to like being embodied in your work essentially. So we're doing a lot of shadow work. We're doing a lot of like the embodiment piece of like leadership, being an embodied leader, and also making space for your human, for your emotions, for processing. So it's like we're kind of doing life together for 4 months. It's like very holistic in that way. It's not a program just teaching you content, or it's not a program just teaching you sales or whatever it is. It's very much like you as the whole human, you're being led on this journey, and we're in this together for 4 months. And so yeah, I love doing this work because it's very much like we're considering the whole human. And for me, that's always been important, because when I realized I was only focusing on certain aspects, but not all of them, it was always like something was always lacking. Something was always coming short. Something was always like not fully integrated. And so this is why both containers are very holistic. But again, the mastermind is more like leadership and business focus, and also like a lot of dating and romance, versus Thrive on Life is very much like creating a life that lights you up and becoming the kind of human who's able to create and cultivate such a life in the first place.
I love that. Such clear definitions of each of them. And I want to kind of laser in on like the word.
You helped me with that, babe, by the way.
You can tell we've been working together.
Credit is due, okay?
Oh, thank you. No, honestly, that all comes from your brain. There's just been a little bit of help getting that tangibility out, but it's fascinating. And I think one of the things that I'd love to sort of like segue into is just talking a little bit about the word thrive, because you've kind of mentioned on a couple of occasions through this interview, you know, you're really thriving right now. And, you know, there's a difference between thriving and surviving, but also you've been going through, you know, over the course of our container, like some pretty big like life shifts and changings, and you've been doing some deep healing. So I kind of want to, because thriving, the word makes it sound like everything's just amazing all the time. But the reality is that you can be thriving while still experiencing difficulty. So I wonder whether you could, first of all, talk about, you know, from your perspective, what does thriving actually mean, number one? And then number two, I'm going to stack some questions here, so be prepared. It's only two. What does thriving actually mean? And then number two, could you talk into some of the things that you've recently been experiencing that have created polarity in your life, and how you've managed to come out the other side still thriving, or how you've thrived whilst navigating them?
I love those questions. They're really good. Okay, so first things first, thriving. What does that actually mean? As you said, thriving is very different to surviving. Surviving is like what most people do, honestly, just going through the motions of your day-to-day life, doing things as you should be doing them, kind of really like being part of the matrix, essentially, like doing the things that are expected of you, or doing the things that make sense, that look good on the outside. It's like you're doing all the things, but you're really just surviving. You're really just in this rat race. And again, like, it doesn't just mean like, oh, when you're having a 9-to-5, you're in the matrix. Honestly, as an entrepreneur, you can be going through the fucking motions and feel stuck in a rat as well. Like for me, when I was just working, like as an entrepreneur, technically being self-employed, technically having the opportunity for more time, freedom, flexibility, I didn't utilize that. I was just working my cute little ass off, right? And so like that was me surviving, going through the motions, doing the same shit every day, obviously loving my work and loving what I did, but still like it was not exciting. Like I wasn't prioritizing my health, my relationships, experiences, experiencing life fully in its fullest, right? And so thriving on the other side is you being fucking aligned and alive. And so I think I can even remember you sending to you like in a Voxer voice note when we still had our container going, like, I feel so aligned and alive right now. I could still remember sending you this and you were like, oh, I love aligned and alive. And yeah. it very much feels like that. When you're thriving, you feel internally aligned. And that obviously that internal alignment shows on the outside, meaning like your life is created on purpose and it matches your inner world. It's in a way where you love the life you've created. And it also means like feeling alive is like you really feel yourself. You feel emotions. And again, emotions in general, not just the quote unquote good ones, like the high energy vibration emotions like joy and gratitude and happiness and contentment and satisfaction and love, but also very much anger and sadness and frustration and pain. Like when you're thriving, you get to feel the full spectrum. It's not just the quote unquote nice emotions that society told you are acceptable and everything else really isn't, especially when you're expressing them. And so when you're thriving, you're feeling it all. And that makes you feel fucking alive. And most importantly, you know how to handle those not so comfortable emotions. You know how to handle and how to redirect the energy in your body when you're feeling stuckness, when you're feeling sadness, disappointment, hurt, pain, you know, like whatever it is for you. When you're feeling those things, it doesn't mean anything. You don't make it mean anything. You don't say, oh, this is a bad day or life is really bad. You rather say, oh, I'm feeling this way and it's uncomfortable. And so let me sit with that for a little bit. Let me move through it. And then let me release that emotion again. Because there's this beautiful saying, emotions are like clouds. They're like visitors. They come and they go. They come and they go. And so you can invite an emotion in, and that is healthy. You can sit with it, you can experience it, and then you can let it go. There's no attachment. Like, right? Like when you're in victim mentality, you're attached to sadness. It's part of your identity almost. It's like, oh, I'm a sad person. I'm so sad. Bad things always happen. True. However, when you're empowered, you're like, well, I'm aware that there will still be things happening in the external world that I can or cannot control that will at some point maybe make me choose to feel sad about them, because that's me filtering what's happening. And then based on that, choosing to feel sad because that feels appropriate. And that is okay. And there is nothing wrong with that. And so it's really about taking away this label of like, oh, this is bad, but rather being like, when I'm thriving, I still get to be so fucking hurt. I still get to be so fucking sad. I still get to be so fucking disappointed. And I understand that this is the polarity of life and it gets to coexist. And I've had days, like especially after my breakup, and this is kind of me going to the next question already, what's been happening recently. You can feel sad and heartbroken and still feel yourself, still feel proud of yourself, still feel grateful for the life that you've created for yourself. Like you can be so grateful for one thing and at the same time feel so sad about something else. And that gets to coexist. And that's what most people don't realize, like how to hold both emotions at the same time, right? Because it's an interesting experience, let's face it. And so for me recently, wow, dude, where do I even start? So when we started our container, I was still in a relationship. We've been together for just over 3.5 years. It's been an absolutely beautiful experience. I'm so grateful for him. We've grown and learned so much together. And I wouldn't be who and where I am today in my life and in my business without him, because I wouldn't be the same person. And I also recognize different points in our like relationship that this is not fully it, but it just made so much sense to stay together, that again, rationalizing, right, that I was just like, no, we'll make it work because it just makes sense that we're together because we love each other and we're a great match and we have similar values and visions. It just makes sense to stay together and make it work. And I also honestly, to a certain degree, think that everything can be talked through and solved through communication, but there are some things that I do genuinely believe are really hard to solve with even communication, even though I consider myself a great communicator, a nonviolent communicator, a conscious communicator. I do still think that there's some things, and I won't get into the details, that are really hard to like talk through and then solve. And so, and also both people need to be equally willing, right? So like it's always a two-way road, like a relationship's like two people. And so for me, like I really realized during this time that I decided that I wanted to uncouple and that I wanted to kind of take our connection to a different state of like a friendship, which obviously like in itself has a lot of challenges because there's still feelings and like all those things. But I realized that for myself that if I want to be true to myself and if I want to like live in alignment, I also have to let go, even if that means temporarily feeling heartbroken, temporarily feeling just fucking heartbroken. Like, oh my God, I think you know it because I sent you voices. I was like fucking heartbroken. I was so sad. And it was a conscious decision that I made. It wasn't like, because I got a lot of like, not hate from people, but people were like, but you guys were so good together. Like, why wouldn't you just make it work and talk it through? And it's and you can to a certain degree. I think you can solve a lot with communication, 100%, if both people are open and willing. But also there's some things where if you have to change the core of who you are to make a relationship work, it's not worth keeping that relationship dynamic. And so for me, I was like, I'm more important than this relationship. Like in my own life, I can't sacrifice my truth and myself and my personality and how I just like to be just to make someone else feel more comfortable. I just can't do that because then I'm not being true to myself and I'm sacrificing myself and I'm not living life to its fullest potential and I'm not living my fullest potential. And so when you're choosing yourself over a relationship with someone that you really love, that you have so much love for, that's fucking hard. But also it just means that you ultimately love yourself so damn much and that is really healthy. And it doesn't mean you have to cut someone out. Like for us, we did a pretty good job, I would say, at really like staying friends and staying in touch and still being so grateful for each other. We are calling every couple of days. It's fucking beautiful. We have dogs together. We have a house together. So, you know, naturally there's some responsibilities that we have that also mean we gotta be in touch and we want to be on good terms, but also
be civil.
Right. But also just at the end of the day, we just love each other. Like, of course, I want him in my life. He's a great person. I didn't end things because he's not a great person or because I don't love him. It's more so because the romantic feelings had changed to more of like platonic feelings due to a multitude of reasons, which again, some things can't be solved through communication. Most can, but not all of them. It's just a fact. And also like I really realized, well, like how do I hold myself in this? Because I'm obviously a business owner. My business depends on my energy, my mindset, how I show up. And during that time, I just honestly had to take time off. Like I couldn't work. I couldn't show up for other people. I had so much to give to myself. And I was being held by you and by my inner circle of friends. Like it was just so, so healing. And so I realized like I can't show up for my business in the way that I used to right now. So basically, I didn't promote a lot for like, I think it was a total of 6 weeks probably where I wasn't really working. I wasn't really posting. I wasn't really doing anything other than showing up for my existing clients. And even with those, sometimes when I had an emotional day, I just reschedule a call to be in integrity. And that was a really interesting experience to just give myself so much time for feeling the feels and for moving through the process and, you know, feeling the emotions and releasing them because I don't have to be set all day long. I can be set for a couple of moments, a couple of minutes, a couple of hours, but then it's like, all right, like it can go again. Like it's served its purpose for today. Because it does really come and go in waves. And so, yeah, I've been thriving through this breakup to like come back to your question, Haley, because I've been able to hold this duality of being so fucking grateful for my support system, you and my friends and my mom and like really people just caring so, like my community, like people caring so deeply for me and being held. Like that was so beautiful to receive that and being my feminine in that way. And also realizing like I can still like hold myself because I have processes in place. My entire life is not falling apart because I'm taking some time off from work. Like I have processes in my business. I have a team I can rely on. I just learned during that time I can easily rely on other people showing up for me. Like I don't have to be in this all by myself. I don't have to do all of this all by myself. And that was really beautiful to see too. And so I've been thriving because I gave myself the space to feel and because I was still showing up for myself. I wasn't letting myself go in the way that I was like not exercising, not eating well, not drinking water, not moving my body. Like I was doing all those things. I wasn't always feeling it every day. Like some days I just wanted to lay around and sometimes I did for a couple of hours. And then I realized, Well, self-discipline, which is more masculine, and devotion to feeling good, which is more feminine, like a more feminine approach. Like these two combined got me up and got me to care for myself, because other people can care for me, but only to a certain degree. I'm the one who has to drink the water. I'm the one who gets to like nourish herself, who gets to move her body, who gets to get her rest and her sunlight and supplements and whatever I do for myself to feel really good on a daily basis. And I needed to do those things for myself to still feel good. And I did. And that really helped, was like caring for my body, caring for my mind, caring for my soul, for my emotions, showing up for myself, and still having some structures in place that helped me to still be human and operate in this world, rather than just laying around for 6 weeks straight doing absolutely nothing and disappearing from my socials, or letting my clients just like not know what's going on, but like letting people like just hang in there. Like, no, like I was still in my self-leadership in that way, that I did what needed to be done whilst caring for myself, having compassion for how I felt and being easy on myself on days where it was really hard, and still doing the things that I knew needed to be done because I have responsibilities as a business owner and as a human. And so being able to hold yourself through that and like taking care of your human whilst taking care of your chores as a human and as a business owner, like that's a blend of masculine and feminine, I guess.
Yeah,
100%. And it was beautiful. It was. I was thriving through that because I was not judging myself for the emotions that came in waves, and for the days where I had a harder time getting out of bed or a harder time caring for myself, doing those small like self-care things, like a morning routine, like eating well and stuff like that. That was a beautiful process, and it's totally possible to thrive whilst feeling challenged, whilst feeling unhappy.
Thank you so much for sharing that, because I feel like so many people can relate to, whether it's, you know, a corporate job that someone has or an entrepreneur, we're all going to go through stuff. Like it's going to be normal. And what I'm really hearing you say is like, you know, there are like polarity swings that you could go down, but what you've been focusing on is remaining kind of in the middle. So some people could like submit to the feelings and do nothing, you know, abandon all of their responsibilities, abandon the responsibilities to their body as well, like stop exercising, stop eating well, you know, just go into this place of victim, oh my God, this feels so hard, which ultimately won't actually process the feelings faster anyway. Or the other pendulum swing is to completely repress it and ignore it and continue showing up as though nothing ever happened, and pushing down all of those feelings, working through it, you know, pretending like you're absolutely fine. And then again, you know, the breakup lasts 3 years longer than it needs to in your mind. And it sounds like you were kind of like walking the tightrope of both of these things, like allowing yourself to feel the cloud, as you called it, when it rolled in of emotion, giving yourself that space, but then deciding, okay, I'm going to pick myself back up. I'm going to now do some other things. And so it sounds like there's like an element of like the masculine discipline that you had of like, I'm going to still be a functioning human being. I'm still got this responsibility and leadership. Let me just quickly, sorry, Ali. Please cut that out. You've still got the responsibility and the leadership of showing up for your business, for your clients and everything, but you're also giving space to process things so you can move through the breakup easier. Did I sort of gather that correctly?
Absolutely. And I love how you pointed out that it is so easy to go into either or direction, like either being like self-loathing and like not doing anything, or, which I actually didn't touch on, and I love that you said that because that's totally how I used to navigate things like that. It's like overworking, numbing yourself, numbing yourself, repressing, not looking at it, just keep going, operating the same way as if nothing happened. Because that's what I did when I lost my father in 2019. Like I was traumatized and I did not know how to handle this emotionally. I did not have the tools at that time. And I just went into straight up numbing myself and overworking. And that's why I experienced burnout that year too, like later that year. But it's because I was completely numbing myself because I didn't know how to hold myself in it, how to process these emotions, how to grieve, how to properly heal through this. And so again, then losing my dad, like that impact it had on me emotionally lasted way longer than it needed to because I didn't do this properly. And so this time, like losing someone close to my heart that's a masculine figure in my life, not losing, but like, you know, like ending things with him, like that could have easily triggered like, oh fuck, like loss of like a masculine like person in my life, like a male figure, right? And that could have easily led me down to like feeling all the things and doing things in the same way as I did with my father. But I didn't, because this time I knew better. And this is why I know this work is so important, is because it just changes how you care for yourself, show up for yourself, and show up for life when these things happen that just can happen, like to anyone. Like, we can lose someone, we can break up, we can, you know, go through like health challenges or like any type of challenge in life, really. It really is about how you're approaching it and leading yourself through it versus what's actually happening, because things will always happen in life, let's face it. So yeah. I love that you're saying that. Like, there's one way, which is like just feeling like sorry for yourself, being in victim mode and not showing up for yourself at all for your life and your responsibilities, or numbing yourself, repressing, suppressing, and then carrying it with you for years and years and years, or carrying it into your next relationship. People do that all the fucking time.
Oh my God.
That fucking sucks. You know, and I didn't want that. So I was like, 100%. May as well look at it.
Okay. If there is someone that is currently going through or navigating through a period of grief, and whether that looks like they've just been broken up with, you know, I feel like sometimes when you're broken up with, the pain can be even more because it was like out of your control. Or maybe you've lost, you know, someone, you've got experience with grief, with losing your father, you know, when you're young. If someone was navigating some of those really big life events that can feel incredibly overwhelming and taxing on your nervous system, what would your advice be to them?
Make space for it. Like, for me, again, when I lost my father and I was like operating in my masculine, I was having my business to run, I didn't make any space for it. I did not make space for actually processing this, because processing something like that, it's not like a small thing. It's not like, oh, like I was in a little, even that can be traumatic, but like even like a little scooter accident, like nothing serious happened. Like here in Bali, like it happens somewhat frequently, you know, knock on wood, but like it can happen. It's like, it's traumatic. It's like, it's bad, but like ultimately if nothing really happens, it's like fine, you can move on. You should also process that, but like something really big like that, like really like losing a person in your life, like that is loss, and that means grief. And if you don't make space for it, which a lot of people, even if you have a 9-to-5 job, like a lot of people will just be like, well, yeah, I can make maybe take a couple of days off from work and then I have to go back to my job. Or when you're self-employed and everything is on your plate, you have maybe a day or two and then you have to get back to work. And it's like, the best thing you can do is to create so much space to hold yourself, to let yourself be held, and to have someone walk you through this process. Because ultimately, if you're not making space for healing and for releasing and for processing, like, it's going to take so much longer. As we said, you're going to carry it into the future with you. You're going to eventually like projected it onto someone else, or like it's going to come up in a different scenario, and then you're like completely bottled up and it's going to completely explode. Like, if you don't make time for grieving, for processing, for releasing, finding emotional release for all of your emotions that come with such an event, like sadness, hurt, guilt, shame, anger, frustration, disappointment, sadness, there's so many emotions behind it. When I lost my dad, there were so many emotions. It was not just sadness. Yeah. It was not just grief. Yeah. It was way more. It was anger. It was disappointment. It was shame, like shaming myself that I haven't like gotten our relationship to a better place when I was like a teenager, because we always had a bad relationship for my entire life, like until he passed pretty much. It's been better like in the past couple of years as we like spiritually connected. But it's just, you have to make so much space and give yourself time, be so gentle with yourself and let yourself be held too. Because again, I always thought I have to do this by myself. I have to be strong for myself. I have to, you know, go through this all by myself. And it's actually beautiful to be held in this and to have someone walk you through it. Someone who's experienced it before, or someone who just knows how to hold you, like even your best friend, like just letting them create space for you and listen. Like, it's so important to receive support if you feel
like a burden. For wanting.
Exactly. Not shaming yourself, not being like, oh, I don't want to put this onto other people. The people in your life want best for you, want to be there for you. Otherwise, it's not a genuine connection, let's face it.
100%.
So, like, letting yourself receive support, and rather than making yourself feel like, oh, I'm a burden, this is wrong, I shouldn't ask for help. Like, no, you better should, because you would do the same for that person, right? Or you hire someone and, like, you really go deep with them as well. Like, that's also an option you have. So, making space and prioritizing healing and wholeness and your inner, your inner alignment and health and happiness over what you, like all the things you got to do work-wise. Like, if you have a 9-to-5, again, I would say I'm fucking out of office for at least 2 weeks. I had a 9 to 5, I would generally do that. And as a business owner, again, I gave myself 6 weeks, which was a long time. Like, I didn't take the entire 6 weeks off. Like, some days I was working a little bit because, again, it came in waves. It went away in waves. But I was not putting a deadline on it. When it started, I was like, however long this process takes, I'll give myself that space. I am financially in a place where I can do that for myself. And I will, because why not? And if you feel like you're not, then I definitely recommend asking for help. Like, let yourself be supported during that time so you can take it off. It's so important, because if you are still pushing through, still keeping yourself busy, that's just going to make the process exponentially longer than it has for me when I lost my dad. Again, like, I had to move through this for years and years rather than couple of weeks or months, because I have not been fully in it. I have not been processing properly.
Yeah, 100%. And I can so relate to this, because I experienced sexual trauma when I was 17 and 24, and basically didn't process any of it, you know, until I started when I was 30 years old, basically, which was 2 years ago now. No, maybe 3 years ago. So maybe I was 29. But I just went through it. That's what led to alcohol issues. That was what led to drug issues. You know, I was just wanting to numb, because when I wasn't numb, I was in pain physically and I didn't know what to do. And that pain lasted, what, almost 10 years for the first one, like over 10 years, you know, and it sounds crazy, right? This is why people experience trauma when they're young and they're still traumatized when they're 50 years old, because they haven't had any time to integrate it. And I now know from having, you know, I've done huge amounts of womb healing, of integration work, sacred rage work, like you've done as well. And now I'm neutral again. You know, I don't have that repressed stuff. I'm not in pain. Like, I don't drink caffeine anymore. I'm sober. I don't do drugs, like, unless if it's a little bit of mother mushroom every so often to go on a spiritual journey, but I digress. You know, but it's like, I don't feel in pain emotionally anymore because I processed it. And it stretched, though, 10 years until I looked at it. Like, this pain doesn't disappear. It doesn't disappear. And I think that's the mistake that people make when they're going through a breakup, losing a human, you know, whatever it is, going through a difficult business breakup. You don't become neutral again. You don't forget about it and live your life normally until you integrate the pain. And in any situation that I have found, anyway. So I love all of this, Laura. And I'm just like so in awe of your vulnerability, of your willingness to share all of this, and for everything that you've been through. That sixth line in Human Design, that first 30 years, has been a wild journey for you.
I got two more to go, babe. Let's see where that leads.
Yeah, exactly. So it's not over yet. It's not over yet.
No,
I love this. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. It's been such a joy to speak to you even more deeply. Thanks, I know you so intimately already, but just hearing your story, going into, you know, all of the aspects that make you, it's such a pleasure. And I know that this will be so healing and magical for other people to hear about as well. So we're going to drop all of your information, including the programs that you have just listed, your Instagram account, and all of those good things in the descriptions below. Before we head off, though, what is one big piece of advice that you would give to anyone that is trying to find their feminine leadership or their feminine authority and find themselves? What would you be telling them?
Mm-hmm. To be so devoted to the journey, because what I found for myself is a lot of times we are, again, disciplining ourselves, and that is really great because that's healthy masculine, feminine, masculine energy too. But like being so devoted to it in a way where you know you're not doing this to prove a point. You're not doing this for anyone else but you. And it just feels different in your body when you're doing something from a place of really wanting to, like desire and devotion, rather than being like, I must do this and I must do that. Like, you don't have to be in your feminine leadership. You don't, like, you get to. Like, this is a choice you make for you, for your life. So it feels better and it gets better. Right. And so when I started like figuring out like, oh, there's like a whole new way of living and leading and running a business like over 2 years ago, when I realized and recognized that, it wasn't like, oh, I have to do this now. Like, and, like, this is the next project I'm working on and like making it like a to-do, but rather making it a journey and an experience I get to surrender to and devote myself to, rather than setting like goals or like wanting to achieve a certain outcome with it. It wasn't so much about like the outcome. It was more about me getting curious about what could become possible if I integrated this, if I nailed this. And so I really think that just getting to a place where anything in life that we want for ourselves, that we see and that we relate to and that we resonate with, make it, like approaching it from a space of, in a place of devotion and desire rather than just disciplining yourself and doing this. Like, discipline is important as well. Again, like, I'm not going to say don't be disciplined, but I also will say that especially as feminine beings, it's so important to tap more into devotion and desire and like, do I want this? Do I feel called to do this? Well, then may as well do it, but from this place of non-pressure and not being attached to a certain outcome, right? Because that's always what my, like, all my life pretty much looked like, was like, I'm doing this for the purpose of, for the sake of. It was always for a certain outcome that was like productive. And now it's just about like, do things feel good? And if it feels good, it may be right for me. And then I may devote myself to it. And so if you're interested in like doing this kind of work, obviously working with either Haley or myself is amazing. And we have so many free resources to start as well, like even just our podcast, right? Like just like start getting into it from this place of curiosity and desire and just like, yeah, like playful curiosity rather than being like, this is like the next thing, I need to nail this. Like, no, like just experience it and experience what it's like being in this and doing this work and just see where it leads you. Cause again, for us, it's been life changing. Like we're fucking bomb. Like I'm so proud of us. Like even chatting to you today, babe, I was like, I knew a lot of it already, but like not all of it, I'm going to say. And it just makes so much sense that I chose you as my mentor, but also like, it's just like, we can be so, so proud of ourselves because this work is heavy. Like it's not always pleasurable, but again, when you're devoted to it, it's like, it makes it all so worth it because you know what you're doing it for. You're doing it for yourself because you have unconditional self-love and self-respect. And so I think when you've cultivated that, then it's so much easier to operate from desire and devotion. So desire and devotion, baby.
Desire and devotion, baby. I absolutely love it. And we have also recorded a podcast on Laura's podcast, which is called Unfuck Your Life. So I will be linking Laura's podcast below as well if you want to go and check out that episode. I highly recommend it. It is a really, really juicy one as well. So
I love that one.
Thank you so much for joining me today, Laura.
Thanks for having me, babe.
You are so welcome, and I will see you guys next week for another episode. Bye, guys.